Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to interview a best-selling author who I'm experiencing his work and loving it, and I'm so glad to have him on the show. And I want to welcome Gay Hendricks. Gay, welcome.
Thank you very much. Great being with you, Peter.
Thank you. We're going to be talking about a new book of yours, and you have so many books that have been wonderful over the years, and I love the work that you do. I want to start off just saying that you're it's an opportunity to talk to you because you're somebody who is not only a best-selling author, but somebody who really walks your talk, and you live in the life that you espouse.
And well, thank you. That's one big commitment that my wife and I made early on when we first started writing books and going on television and radio and things like that, is that we wanted to do our best to practice everything we taught so that the way we are in public and our relationship and that kind of thing became a teaching tool in itself. So, like, I think we were the first people that insisted that we be brought on as a couple when Oprah invited us on her show many years ago for the first time. And they said, no, wait, there's got to be one of you that does all the talking. And my wife and I said, no, we kind of share it. And so it was a whole different thing. But we're glad we kind of held out for it, because as a result of that, the next time we were on the show, they had it all set up so that it, you know, we could kind of present our stuff as a couple rather than having the camera shoot back and forth from one to the other.
Well, one of your books is Conscious Loving, and I guess you can't really just talk about that when you're alone.
Well, you'd be surprised at how many relationship experts don't have very good relationships at home.
Well, that's why they have to write about them and work on them and write books
about them.
So also, visiting your website is really a wonderful journey and opportunity for people, and it's something I guess we can talk about near the end of the show, but it's inviting and helpful, supportive, inspiring. It's nice to see a website like that.
Oh, well, thank you. We really put a lot of energy into it, particularly my wife, Kathleen, is kind of the guru of the website and tells the tech people what to put on there every day, and we always change videos and things like that. So it's a great thing. I love the Internet. I was actually, back then when the first Internet first came in, I was still a university professor at the University of Colorado before I left to do my own thing, and I remember being the first person on the faculty to have email and have the other people coming in there looking at me and saying, what is this thing, email, you know? And so I kind of love the tech aspects of it too.
Oh, that's good. Us older guys, it's nice to keep up with the times.
Yeah, well, I was always the kid that took apart the radio when I got it in the fifth grade, you know, to see how it ticked inside.
But you do that with our minds and our hearts and understand how they tick. And that's what's so great about your work, is that you really get to the essence of not only who we are, but who we want to be. And how to get there.
And yeah, that's really fascinated me all my life.
And that's why this new book I find very helpful. I'm sure I haven't read all your books, but they look so inviting, and I would look forward to that. And I'm sure a lot of our audience have read a lot of your books and will be excited to know about Five Wishes.
Well, I hope so. It's been a wonderful process. The writing of the book, this particular book, is actually, I think, my 31st book over the years, and it was more fun to write, and it took me into a deeper place to write it. So it was kind of like writing it from beginning to end, from the moment I started it until the moment it's been published, has been kind of like a big, deep breath of joy, and I'm really glad it's touching so many people. Of all the various books I've written, it's definitely the one that brings in the most email and letters every day from people saying, this really changed my life.
Well, it's a source book, and I understand why you're saying that, because you actually created this many, many decades ago, actually. And it was a source for your creation in life of what you wanted and manifesting what you desired. And to have five wishes, and there was an event that happened, actually, that created this. And that's the essence of why, perhaps, we want to sit down and do this. Because of the condition that was set for this when you met this man at a party. And he asked you a condition, and then you responded about that. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Yes. I always say to people that even though it's not a large book, Five Wishes, you can probably read it in an hour or two, it took me over 30 years to write it because it had such a powerful effect on me. What happened was, I went to a party with my then new relationship, Kathleen, also known as Katie, here around the house. And I was in my early 30s at the time. And I went to this party, and I was kind of wandering around the house. I'm not a real big party person. And I was wandering around looking like I looked in their library, and I was in there browsing through some books. And another man came in there who was at the time about 60 years of age. It was a tall, bald fellow that had a pleasant way about him, and he and I struck up a conversation about the fact that neither one of us really liked small talk very much, the kind of thing that people talk about at parties. And so Ed said, well, how about some big talk then? And I said, okay, well, what did you have in mind? And so we struck up this conversation, and he said that he had had a near death. He'd been ill and almost died a while before that, and he was recovered now. And I said, well, what was that like? And he said, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I said, what? And I said, why is that? And he said, because I got clear on the answer to a question that came to me during the time I was sick. And I've used that question to redo my whole life, basically. And so I thought that was powerful. And I said, what's the question? And he said, okay, I'm going to ask it to you right now. And he looked me in the eye, and he said, if you were on your deathbed, say 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years from now, and you were looking back over your whole life, and I came to visit you, and I said, Gay, was your life a success? And if you said, yes, my life was a success, what is the one thing you'd be referring to that made it a success? And if your life were not a success, what was the main thing you'd be referring to that you missed out on that kept your life from being a success? And when he asked that, I mean, that was definitely not small talk, you know. And I remember just kind of being there stunned, and because I realized in that moment that the one thing above all that would make my life a success was something I had not ever experienced yet. And what came out of my mouth was, I said, the biggest thing that I really want to accomplish or experience in my life is that I want to create a lasting, long-lasting love relationship with a woman with whom I can really grow over time. And I had had lots of relationships in my teens and 20s, and they would last 6 months or a year or sometimes longer, but they would all kind of come fall apart eventually. And I was just beginning to suspect there around 30, 31, 32, whatever I was, that maybe it had something to do with me. You know, maybe there was something about me that was keeping me from being in successful relationships. And I'm kind of embarrassed that it took me 10 or 15 years to figure that out. But, you know, better late than never. So that's what I said to Ed. And he said, well, have you experienced that yet? And I said, no, I haven't really experienced that. That's something I don't know if I can create. And he said, well, make that your number one wish then for your entire life. Get focused on that right now and bring it into being. And so I did that. I really got focused on that. And then I came up with four other big wishes for my life. But the first one I really got busy on, and the first thing I did was I told Katie about it, and I said, you know, I really want to make a commitment to going all the way to our full flowering in this relationship. And I always realize that I've held back from that in the past, but I want to put my whole heart and soul on the line here and make a real commitment to you. And I'd never really done that in a relationship before. And I really came to see the power of commitment out of that moment, because it happened. You know, it came into being, and now 30 years later, we just, as a matter of fact, we just came back from our big anniversary trip that we made down to Peru and did some traveling for our what's now the 29th anniversary of our wedding, which was last month. And so we have made it happen, and the power of commitment is great because it'll get you started in the right place, and it's also a place to come back to when you kind of slip off of it. So I've learned so much, and I've always remembered that day as the day that I really started my new life.
That's wonderful, and obviously it worked. You and Katie are still doing great, and it's nice to hear that. I have a similar story in my 30s, and I've been with my wife now for 31 years, and we're thrilled.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's great to hear. I'm glad to celebrate you on that.
Well, likewise. And what's really nice about this book is you help define the process. And how many people out there, if you ask them to make five wishes, wouldn't know where to start, really, wouldn't know how to put it in words, how do you break it down? It's creating the scene, you know, certainly being on a deathbed and imagining, what have I missed? What isn't working? What, if I had it to do again now, what would I want? And that certainly pushes the buttons.
It really does. Well, you know, it's interesting because how many times in life has somebody really asked you to figure out what you really want in life? I mean, it's probably something that we should do in the first grade or junior high school or high school or somewhere along the line, but most of us don't ever get in a situation where we are called to do that. And I feel really blessed now that not only did I benefit from asking myself that question, but I've now had the opportunity to ask thousands and thousands of people that question and to really understand the process behind it. And as a result of that, I feel like I've been able to be of real service to people by helping them really focus in on what's most important to them.
Well, there are two ways of looking at this that I'm dealing with. And one is that I'm excited about processing this myself for my own future, but another way that I've worked on this in the past is having attended funerals and realizing what people talk about the people who have just died and what mattered, and I thought to myself, well, when I go, what do I want them to say about me, and how do I want to live my life because of that? And so I have really dedicated my life to be proud of what people say of me at the end. But now I'm realizing that that's great for them. What about me? And so I think I've got that covered. I'm proud of my life and have done well. But there are things that I would like that I think are important to me that might not be as important to others.
Well, I really think that every person, if at all possible, needs to focus in there and find out what's important to you. You know, find those three or four or five sacred goals that your life depends on, that if you bring them forth, your life is a success. And if you don't bring them forth, you don't get to experience a true successful life. Not that it means, has to mean material success. I mean, that's a important thing for many people, but to just know what's important to you in your own life. Like for me, my number one wish was to create that kind of close relationship. My second wish, though, was completely different. It was about learning how to live in a state of completion instead of incompletion with all my friends and family and people around me. You know, I had a funeral experience too, Peter. When I was a kid, I went to a funeral and of a family member, and several people said something like, I wish he'd said he loved me. I wish he'd told me he loved me. And this is one of his children, you know, that he had never said that. He'd never said, I really love you, to them. And I remember just being kind of stunned by that and thought, wow, I don't want to live my life so that somebody says something like that about me. You know, so I put a priority on really speaking the whole truth to people that I hadn't spoken the whole truth to. You know, I needed to go back to complete things with people that I hadn't said things to, like, I love you, or I'm angry at you, or I appreciate you. It was important to me to complete those things in the sense of expressing the things, so there was nothing unsaid or undone that I hadn't really communicated to people. And as far as listening, too, is there anything that I haven't really listened to from other people that I really need to open up to and listen to? So that's what I meant by completion.
And yet sometimes people just can't say certain things. I know with my mother, she couldn't say, I love you. And I said to her, you know, you don't tell me that you love me. And she said, but you know that I do. And yet she still couldn't say it. And,
yeah.
But, you know, I got it. And so, you know, sometimes we just have to, perhaps there are ways that we're all different that we can fulfill these things and communicate with people in ways that get the language across in our own way.
Exactly. There are many, many ways to express love. I had the same mother, I think, that she was not very communicative, but she expressed her love in many other ways that maybe didn't come out of her mouth, but they showed up in the way she served people and the way she could be with people and other acts of service like that. So not all of us are able to express things in verbally. But it sure is nice when you do, you know, when you do hear somebody or when you do go speak the truth. I had an amazing experience in doing this completion work. I made a list of all the different things throughout my life that I could think of that were incompletions, like projects I'd started but not finished, or people that I needed to say something to, or in one case I remembered suddenly 12 years later a guy that I'd borrowed $160 from back in the 1960s, and I'd never paid him back because he and I had kind of a falling out, and I used that as an excuse. Well, if I'm angry at him, I don't have to pay him back. And so I'd run a con on myself like that, you know, how we'll justify our actions. And so I tracked the guy down. It took a little bit of detective work, but I finally tracked him down and was able to pay him back his money plus a little interest, of course. And but it was such a great feeling, you know, regardless of how he felt. I mean, just the fact that I found that incompletion down in myself and was able to complete it with him. As it happened, I got this incredible letter from him that said, you know, that he'd kind of fallen on hard times and the money did actually make a difference in his life. And so I really recommend to all of your listeners that they get in the process of completing incompletion so that you live in this magical eternal present from which you can design whatever kind of life you want. It's kind of like if you come into if you come into a relationship carrying two gigantic bags of experience that you haven't dealt with yet, you've got the kind of a weight on you as you go about being in the present.
But I think that we shouldn't be that judgmental about it. For instance, with this loan to this man, and you know, you were at some point feeling uncomfortable about it and not realizing that I think it's the universe at work and trusting the process that you got it to him when he really needed it.
Yeah, that's right. The universe has been around for a lot longer than I have, so who am I to impose my time on it? Yes. So the fact that it took 12 years to remember it doesn't really matter.
Right, right. So let's not make ourselves too wrong, but let's, you know, look at what we can do better and understand that there's a process. One of the things about creating our future is, is to make statements about it. And I like the way you went about it in the book, because you create the statement in the present, not in the future. And
yeah,
we can wish for the future, but I like the way you lay it out.
Well, that's a really good point. I appreciate you mentioning it, because, you know, there are various resources, books and movies and stuff on manifestation, you know, like The Secret and those kind of books and movies. And they're useful in a way because they kind of give you a formula for how to ask yourself big questions. And the way I do it in Five Wishes, I really have refined it over, you know, dozens and hundreds of seminars over the years. So in having a chance now to talk about asking the big questions of life with thousands of people, I figured out a kind of a short circuit way to do it. So in the book, it tells you how to give yourself, 10 minutes or an hour to really focus in on those big questions. And I'd like everybody to think of this also as a lifelong thing, because I still, even though my wishes and dreams have all come true, the ones that I talked about in the book, you know, there are still things that I'm working on in my life that I really want to get better at every day. And if you learn how to ask yourself the big questions in the way I talk about in the book, it really does give you a compass, a way to kind of navigate your way through life no matter where you are in your life.
Well, that's right. And it's, I'm inspired by the way you went about it. And at first I was kind of thinking, where would I find this in myself, these questions? But after a while in reading the book, I was inspired and I started to find ways that I would want to change things and about making the future a little bit different than I am now and life is now. And yet I'm very positive about the future. As you say, you're still working on stuff. We're all still working on stuff. And it's nice to be inspired and to have a handle, have these techniques that you've created in this book. They're very simple, get to the point, and very deep, too. I'm sure there are a lot of tears shed over creating these wishes. And realizing them.
Well, also, I get email every day from people who have applied the process to themselves, and it's really I keep them all in a big file because I love to, you know, if I'm getting tired or something at the end of the day, I'll read one of them, and it just gives me a real good sense again of what life is all about. You know, that it's any time in life when you get the opportunity to really help people move their lives forward and shed the past and move into the present, it's a real honor and a privilege. And I know you experienced that also. And to me, it's a way to be in life, even if you're not a professional and do this for a living, it's still great to know a bunch of ways to change your life so that when your friends have difficulties and everything, you can, you know, read one of the tools from Five Wishes to them and help them get recentered again. I get email all the time from people who are, you know, not professional therapists or anything, but really use the book to help their friends. And I even have a number of people each week that have Five Wishes groups that meet and where they're focusing on bringing their wishes into being. And I'm very excited about that because to me, life is at its best when we're both loving where we are now and also moving toward the future that we want to create. Both of those things are important. It's incredibly important to appreciate and accept and love yourself for where you are right this moment, and also to make a space for moving into the future of your own creation that you really want.
What about the idea of watch out for what you wish for?
Yeah, well, that's it. That's a great thing. I appreciate you bringing that up because it's one reason I wrote Five Wishes was that I really see how people kind of get off track sometimes by wishing only for material things, you know, by focusing so much on money and finance and things like that. And I'm not putting that down. I think money and finance is incredibly important, but it needs to be done in the context of what your heart is really here for. You know, and your heart is really here for love. And so I put a high priority on my relationships and having especially a close relationship at home that really works, because then if I make great money, great. If I don't make as great money some year, that's okay too, because I've still got everything covered at home. I know that I'm going to be in a state of loving and being loved when I'm here, and that to me means everything to me. And as it happens, a lot of what I did, I wished for things that ended up making a lot of money. I didn't start them with that in mind. Like my third wish that I talk about in the book was to learn how to write from my heart. And I'd written a bunch of, you know, scientific journal articles, and I was trained in a very rigorous form of research and that kind of thing. I had a PhD from Stanford, which was a research center, and did a lot of research and that kind of thing. And I learned how to write textbooks and journal articles for scientific journals, but I never really learned how to write from my own heart about what was important to me. And so that became my third wish, is I'm a writer, and I wanted to learn how to write, kind of turn my soul and heart inside out so I could put everything I knew down on paper or on the computer. And as a result of that, I wrote a book called Learning to Love Yourself the first summer I was with Katie. And it was a joy to write, because I was putting down something on paper every day. In those days, I wrote with a pen on a yellow pad of paper, and I was putting down on my yellow pad of paper every day the things that were absolutely sacred to me inside myself that I had found that really worked to help transformation occur in life. And as a result of that, the book, it was written from my heart, and it also later became a bestseller, so I had the opportunity to experience success. I hit some bumps along the way. Like, the book became a bestseller partly because of a truly awful review in Psychology Today, which was a popular magazine at the time. And the reviewer said that this book made him sick to his stomach. He said, because here's this Dr. Hendricks is sharing his own feelings and talking about his relationships and things like that. At the time, there were not many self-help books around, so it was kind of a new genre. But the day the review came out, the book shot up in the bestseller list and basically stayed there, I think, because everything the guy said was wrong with it was what people actually wanted to read. You know, they actually wanted to read a respectable psychologist talking about his own feelings and that kind of thing. And so I really had the kind of the last laugh on that. I often think now when I have a new book come out that I ought to send it to that guy and see if he can give me another bad review, because it sold so many hundreds of thousands of books.
That's great. So this is definitely been a big journey you've been on of working from your heart, and actually that's where you have to go to create your five wishes, and so reading your book has been very helpful to me, and I'm sure it will be helpful to everyone, but also so much of your work, and so we only have less than a couple of minutes to go, and I want to now help people find you, find your website, and climb into this beautiful journey that you're on, and how you're helping so many people.
Yes, well, one good place to find us is at our main website, which is Hendricks.com, and that's spelled HENDRICKS.com. And so Hendricks.com is kind of the place where you go to get all our different resources, and we have a ton of free videos and things like that there that people can use, and especially look for our 1 minute miracle videos. They're a free series of videos that show you things that you can do in under 60 seconds to transform your relationships and make them better on a daily basis. You can also go to out on the web, there is our movie of the book, which is called Five Wishes also. So if you go to fivewishesbook.com, you can take a look at that movie.
Jay Hendricks, thank you so much. This is such a pleasure to talk with you, and I'm so glad that you could join us. Thank you so much. You're doing incredible work to help this planet.
Thank you very much. Blessings to you, Peter.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening.